ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् We saw in the first shloka, or introduction, prelude shloka, Shiva asking Shankara as to whom are you telling to go away? Is it the body or is it the Chaitanyam? So body cannot go away because body is insentient. That is, which is insentient, that which doesn't have any light, it requires the light of consciousness to move. And so consciousness, without consciousness, nothing can move. Insentient entities cannot move. It is the sentient man who moves an insentient rock or some other entity, objects of the world. So similarly, if a person wants to move move an insentient entity, consciousness is essential. So the body cannot be moved. And if you say consciousness, you are telling consciousness to go away. Consciousness is all pervasive, so it cannot go away. And moreover, like if we we were talking about, like I asked about what to move away, but why to move away? That is a bigger question. That's a more important question which Shiva asks in the next prelude shloka. So, pratyag vastuni nistaranga sahajananda vabhodam budhav viproyam shvapachoyam ityapi mahan koyam vibheda brahmah kim gangambuni bimbiteyam bharamanav चांडाल वीति पयह पूरे वा अंतरमस्ति कांचन गटी मृत कुंभयोर वा अंबरे. So here Shiva says, why are you like differentiating pratyek vastuni? In the pratyek vastu means very distinct, very clear Brahman, one Brahman. Nis Taranga sahaja ananda avabhodha ambudhav. It is ambudhav. Ambudhav means in ambu, in water. What is this water or what is this ocean? This ocean of consciousness. Ananda avabhodha ambudhav. So anandam, blissful, avabhodham. Avabhodham means conscious. So this conscious, our ocean of consciousness, in this ocean of consciousness, nistaranga, which is devoid of any waves, so waveless, waveless sahaja, natural. No, so it is very natural, sahajam. So the state of Brahman, the state of the Atman is very natural. So that's why it requires, of course, like since we have gone away from the natural state, it seems to be very tough to get back to the natural state. But the natural state is the simplest, is the easiest. So natural state, like being in a natural state, it's very easy. If we have to go to a new place and stay there, it is something tough. It's difficult. Whereas if we have to remain as our own self, that is the simplest, that is the easiest, because it is our own very nature. So natural is something which is very simple, which is very easy. And in that pratyek vastuni, in that distinct pratyek, can be taken as distinct or inner, so innermost. So in that one vastu, which is natural, which is without any waves, which is without any differences, without any distinction, without any turbulence. So in many places we find the Atman being related to ocean. So ocean, externally the ocean has a lot of waves. So there's a lot of turbulence in the ocean, and the waves are moving here and there. So a lot of waves, a lot of turbulence in the ocean, but internally. So internally, if we go more and more deeper into the ocean, it is still. So it is very still. So it is, that's why it is the Atman is also compared to a waveless ocean. So consciousness is also an ocean. It is ocean, like from one end of the ocean, we cannot see the other shore. Ocean is endless. Ocean has a lot of nama rupam in it. The ocean has waves, bubbles, all those are there. Nama rupam is there. Many objects are there. But the ocean is one alone, and externally turbulence, externally differences, duality, everything exists in the ocean. But the more inner we go, we'll find that it is very still. So in this one entity, one Atman who alone exists, so duality is just nama rupam. So in that one entity, one Brahman, which is devoid of duality, there is no duality possible at all. And that one Brahman who alone exists here, in that Brahman, Viproyam Shvapachoyam Ityapi, Mahan Ko Ayam Vibheda Brahmah. Why this Vibheda Brahmam? Why this Vibhedam? Vedam means difference, Vibhedam means Visheshena Bhedam, very special differences. Brahmam, it is a Brahmam. These differences are Brahmam. What are the differences? Viproyam Shvapachoyam. I am Vipra, I am a Brahmana, Shvapachoyam, I am a Shvapacha, Chandala. Iti api, thus, Mahan, oh great person, Kaha I am. What this differences? So the differences in cannot exist at all in Brahman. There's only one Brahman. So all the various differences that we see are not real. It is just Brahmam. It is just an illusion. It is just a misconcept. It is just something which is imagined. So that is why Jagat Gandharva Pattanam. So this Gandharva Pattanam, in this illusory world, like there are many differences, but all those differences, once we seek the underlying reality, in various difference. Matta paradaram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. There is nothing different from me here, O Arjuna. Manasai vedam aptavyam nehanana asti kinchana. Know through the mind. What to know through the mind? Know through the mind that there is no duality here. Not even the least kinchana, not even little. There is no difference at all. There is no scope for difference also. Because whatever exists is one Brahman alone, one Ishvara alone, Sarvam Brahmamayam, Sarvam Kaluvidam Brahma. So if there is, everything is one Brahman, then this notion of I am a Vipra, I am a Shvapacha is a Brahmam, it is an illusion and Vibhedam. Why create all these differences? What can differences do? Differences. Differences means Kama Krodham. Kama krodho bijayate kamam. These differences lead to raga dvesham or kama krodham, and kamam leads to krodham. If we are attached to something, like when we make differences or distinctions, then we get attracted to one or the other, and from that attraction, anger will arise, like when we are not able to control it. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Krodham, anger means like delusion. In anger, like we get deluded, like we don't know what we are saying, we don't know what's happening. So, sammohat smriti vibhrama, when sammoham or delusion happens, then there is no memory. We don't know, we don't even know what we are doing. Smriti bhramshat buddhinasho. And when smriti, like we don't know what we are doing, memory is completely lost. Previously whatever has happened, what should be done, all those whatever we have learned will vanish. And when that happens, buddhinasham, intellect or discriminative faculty is destroyed. And buddhinashat pranashyati. If there is no buddhi, like buddhi doesn't work, If buddhi doesn't work, then the person gets destroyed, or it leads to the destruction of a person. So what is destruction? Oh, I see people getting angry. I see people who don't have intellect, but they don't get destroyed, as you say. So destruction is not just bombing or like bomb killing a person. Destruction means sorrow. That is what is meant by destruction. Destruction means sorrow. What else can be the greatest destruction in the world other than this, that like a man whose very nature is bliss, he forgets that bliss is there within him and he enters into sorrows. He suffers. He seeks. He seeks getting rid of these sorrows. So what better like destruction is there than this? There's no destruction other than this. So that means that is destruction. Destruction means total sorrow, total suffering. So irrespective of what a person does, he will suffer. So that is what happens in the world. People have money. There's a lot of money. And then nowadays, like gone are the times when people used to, like there used to be hardly crorepatis or lakhpatis. Now there is not lakhpati, it's like crorepati. And crorepatis are also becoming very common these days. You have to go one level further. Millionaire, like there was a time when millionaires were very rare. Now it's not millionaires, it's billionaire. And then it'll be trillionaire and then zillionaire. So gone are the days like when people didn't have a lot of money. So now money, the people have money, people have possessions. So if like you go to any house, like there will be computers, there will be TVs, there will be home theaters, everything is there. So there is whatever like amenities a person needs is there. Like Amma always speaks about days when in her college there used to be no fans. Like there is open space, like of course, like the college that I studied, like there used to be no fans because it used to be like on a hilly place surrounded by a lot of trees, and thereby like there will be windows or openings and all. So there was no need of fan. But today you can't, like it's not even fan, we need AC. Without AC, like get into a car, AC. Come to office, AC. Go to a restaurant, AC. Go to home, AC. Everywhere, AC. But people like ancient times, they used to live without even fan or with just fan. They were happy. Now, AC is there, but suicides being committed in air-conditioned rooms are much more. So money is there. All these like amenities are there. Today it's not like long back when people had to get milk daily. Today you can get milk and then keep it in the fridge, refrigerator is there. So cooking used to be a painful job earlier because people used to use stoves. Means more smoke. It's very tough, it's uncomfortable. But today we have microwave oven, we have home deliveries. But still, amidst all these like fame, money, power, everything is there in life, but there is no happiness at all. It's because person doesn't acknowledge the underlying non-dual reality. Without understanding, without going to the underlying reality, innermost self, extroverted nature, a person who is extroverted will not get happiness at all. He who goes beyond the world, he who goes beyond the external differences into the innermost self, into the underlying reality behind the world, he alone will get bliss. No other person will get bliss. Paranchikhani vyatranat swayambhuhu tasmat parang pashinantaratman kaschid dhirah pratyagatmanam aikshat avritta chakshuhu amritattvam icchan. So this, the sense organs or the mind itself is in such a way that it is extroverted, it goes behind worldly pleasures. Therefore Ishvara, who is inside us, curse those that like you will always go outside. So they always go outside, they get only sorrow from external objects ehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkayonai evati adyantavanta kaunteya nateshwaramate buddha. The pleasure that a person gets from sense objects is limited because it has a beginning and an end. Therefore, those are seeds of sorrow, and wise people don't take depend on them. So anyway, so who can get happiness? Kaschid dhiraha pratyegatmana maikshad avrutta chakshuhu amratattvam icchan. Amratattvam icchan, seeking amratattvam, knowing that this world is temporary, knowing that anityam asukham lokam, knowing that this world is temporary, therefore cannot give us anything other than sorrow. Person seeks amratattvam, immortality or bliss, and thereby avrutta chakshuhu, he controls his sense organs, he controls the mind, and pratyegatmanam aikshat, he goes inside and finds the innermost self. Kaschid dhiraha, very few wise people. So dhiraha, they are wise, they are bold, they are courageous. It doesn't take courage to enter into the United States and bomb the World Trade Center. It takes courage to tame the passions of the mind. It takes courage to go beyond all the delusive forces of the world. It is real courage to go beyond Maya and seek the self. So such people are courageous people. So it's very tough. So differences, everything starts with kama krodham, everything starts with raga dvesham. So kama krodha viyuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate viditatmanam. Few people who get rid of kama krodham, kama krodha viyuktanam yatinam yata chetasam, few striving seekers, like who go beyond kama krodham and who have controlled their mind, focused their mind on the Atman. Such people, they know the self, and therefore bliss dances around such a person. So they are blissful people, like who go beyond the dual world by having or by following the vision of non-duality, seeing no differences in the world. So externally differences can be accepted, can be perceived, but internally trying to remember that all those differences are just names and forms. They are temporary. Reality or essentially everything is one Brahman alone. Gata kudhyadikam sarvam mrittika matrame vahi tadvat brahma jagat sarvam iti vedanta dindima. So gatam kudhyam, like pot, mud, etc. are in fact or in essence they are all mud. So even as various gold ornaments are gold alone, so in the same way jagat, this entire world is Brahman. Brahma jagat sarvam tadvat brahma jagat sarvam, therefore Brahman. In the same way Brahman is the entire world, the entire world is Brahman. This is what Vedanta clearly shouts at the top of its voice, or the Vedantic lions roar at the top of their voice, that this entire world is one Brahman alone. So in that, why are you having, like, you should be maintaining non-duality, you should be internally following non-dual vision, thereby considering everybody as one and the same. Activities are different, physical form is different, mental state is different, but essentially they are all the same. Then why are you differentiating? So don't differentiate. So externally, that doesn't mean like bring in people and like let them stay in your house, or like going to office and then resigning and giving your post to some other person. That is not what is meant here. What is meant is don't differentiate. Like, see oneness everywhere. Try to understand or remember that different people are essentially one self, one Atman, one Brahman, and therefore consider them as one. Give them respect. Rather than like killing them, rather than abusing them, cursing them. consider them as one's your own brothers and sisters. That is what the Indian national anthem says. All Indians are my brothers and sisters. How many people really understand this? Very few people fight in the name of religion, in the name of money, in the name of fame, in the name of party. So today, when a child is born, like when a child grows, the parents say, okay, don't play with that child. He's of a different religion. Don't play with that child. That child is poor. That child is rich. The child is different. So all those differences are being maintained, or like it's being developed from childhood. So as Amma always says, like, children grasp things very easily, and what children grasp at a very young age, it is very tough to forget those. So whatever we would have learned at a very young age, the songs like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are, Up Above the Sky, Like a Diamond in the Sky, Up Above the World, or something like that. So these are like things like which we learned in a nursery, and then like we haven't recollected them at all, but still immediately it will come to our mind. How or why? Because whatever we learn at a very young age, it stays, it creates a deeper impression. And the logic is very simple as to why. The logic is, when a person gets born, there are some latent tendencies which are continued from previous birth, but it's a sort of a new slate. We have a slate, and the slate has few capabilities. That means like few things are written already, but let's say half the slate is full with our previous births, vasanas from previous births, but the half is empty. So that half, like whatever we write initially, imagine that you can write and you cannot erase it. So if you cannot erase it, then it stays. But as the person ages, it becomes full. So when it becomes full, it's like trying to do something, like trying to download a file. Like when you try to download a file, it says, oh, memory space not available, or disk space not available, not enough. Because we have a lot of junk, a lot of unused, unnecessary things which will really give us only sorrow, all those are there. So at a very young age, it is easy to grasp things. So, but at a young age, rather than like taking the children to temples, taking the children to Vedantic lectures, teaching the children Lalita Sahasranama, today children are taught to watch the TV. How will the children not watch the TV? Today, Chitti, or like some other Saas Bahu, or like if it is US, it will be Sex and the City, or Desperate Housewives, or Friends, or The Office. So many like TV, like parents or elders are watching TV, and they will like, since they can't handle the children, what will they do? They'll tell the children, okay, watch, sit here and watch. And if they can't watch, what will happen today? If we are very rich, then the children will have a different TV in their room, and then they'll be watching cartoon Tom and Jerry. So after learning Tom and Jerry, oh, Tom and Jerry, I also like it, it's very good. Is it really good? What does a child learn from Tom and Jerry? The child doesn't learn to laugh at everything. Like Tom and Jerry or cartoons have a good message. What is a good message? Laugh at whatever happens in the world. Laugh at whatever is happening. Can we really do that? Can we implement it? Definitely no. Because we don't have knowledge. We don't know why to. So we don't know. So we always grasp wrong things. So what does the child do? The child learns, okay, the mouse and the cat and the mouse are enemies. So how? Like me and my friend, or like me and that particular child. So that is how the child learns. So that is how like children are being groomed today. And like if by God's grace there are few children like who want to learn, who are interested in Vedanta or Lalita Sahasranama and such good things, immediately the parent will distract. Of course, I have first hand experience, because my cousin used to be interested in knowing stuff. He used to be interested in learning Vedanta. He used to have questions of why the world came, how the world came, what is Maya. He started listening to Paramartha. He used to come home and my father used to tell him a lot of stuff. But then his parents realized, oh, if this continues, he will become a sannyasi. So they'll not let him talk. They'll not let him listen to Paramartha. Immediately, if he is listening, they will also be there with him. Oh, this is not right, that is not right. And then listen to Paramartha and say, oh, Paramartha says you should marry. Out of context. Take things like whatever, like it's like perspective vision. We see like a person sees what he wants to see. It's not like the mind is not open that whatever is happening in front, see it with a open mind. See it with a from a third person's perspective, that is true perspective. That will give us real vision. That will give us that will give us knowledge about the pros and cons, and we'll be able to decide rightly. But that doesn't happen. That is what is called Sakshi Bhavam, third person perspective. And we do experience very often, like if we are jurors, like if we have jury duty in court, like if we are a juror, then definitely we are a Sakshi. We see like what happened. We see how the case is presented and then we give our judgment. So that does happen, but today that's not the case. So even if children want, parents will not let them do. So children grow based on duality, because that is what is perceived, that is what parents know, and thereby like when they grow up, they also they are so founded on duality. The foundation is very strong, and that foundation will not let them pursue non-duality or non-dual vision, not even learning Vedanta. And if somebody wants to learn Vedanta even after marriage, then like the so-called elderly idiots, of course it is not a good word to be used, but yes, of course, that it is a naked truth that elders are idiots today. So they'll say that, oh, Vedanta, like you are so young, like why do you want to learn Vedanta now? There is a time for everything, so the time will come. Like when you are old, you can learn Vedanta. And when you are old, what will happen? Vriddhastavat chinta sakta. When you are a vriddha, you have only time for thinking. Like you have accumulated lot of vasanas, lot of desires, lot of thoughts. And then like there will be one or the other grandchild there. And a grandchild like will affect us so much that we'll not be able to do anything without the grandchild. And what will the grandchild do? It will beat us. That is what will happen. And when the grandchild grows old, or like grandchild becomes young, it will forfeit us. And then like we will start crying. Oh, I took care of my child. I took care of my grandchild, but still they don't care for me. Oh God, what did I do that you are punishing me like this? So many people complain, like go to Amma and complain. So many people have asked the question, why is God making people suffer? We have to understand that God never gives suffering. Ishvara tat srishtva tadeva anupravishat. Ishvara has entered into everything. Everything is Ishvara essentially. So that means Ishvara's creation has only bliss, because Ishvara is blissful. A blissful person can only create bliss. So Amma can only give bliss to anyone. Balakrishna Nair, he can only speak about Brahman, because that he is Brahman. If he is Brahman, like he can only speak about that. Paramartha can only speak about Vedanta, because he is filled with Vedanta. So that is how it works. So like if Ishvara is blissful, means Ishvara will give only bliss to the entire world. But humans or people like twist that world. We create an impression of the world, and our impression is based on duality, whereas Ishvara's world is filled with non-duality, just temporary duality, which is just a leela, a sport, a play of Ishvara. So forgetting that, people get distracted into duality and thereby suffer. Ato asya sarvasya bandhakrit manasam jagat. The bandham is not Ishvara's creation, whereas the creation that the jiva, that the individual creates in his own mind of Ishvara's creation. We don't have a third person Sakshi perspective of the world, whereas we create an impression, this is my friend, this is my parents, this is my child, this is my office, and all those. And that is what causes a person to suffer. So Ishvara doesn't give any suffering at all, whereas our vibheda brahmam, our illusion, our delusion, this brahmam, that is what, like our vibheda brahmam, bheda brahmam. So remove bhedam, understand, remember that everything is one entity, one brahman. And then if we remember that everything is one brahman, then there will not be any bhedam. If there is no bhedam, then there will be no dukkham. And such a sadhaka who remembers that everything is one brahman, he will ever rejoice in bliss. There will be no sorrow, not even the least sorrow will be there for such a sadhaka. So anyway, so why are you having this delusion? Why are you having this difference vision? And Shiva doesn't stop there. Shiva knows that there are few ways in which you can explain differences. So there are two theories, two very common theories, like in Advaita Vedanta or Vedanta, about differences. How can differences be apprehended? So one is reflection theory, and second is limitation theory. So one is called Pratibimbavadam, reflection theory, whereas the second is called Avachedavadam or limitation theory. So Shiva takes up both and says, whether we go by reflection theory or we go by limitation theory, both essentially prove that there is only one entity, then why do you differentiate? So he says, Kim Ganga Ambuni Bimbite Ambaramanav Chandalaviti Payah Pureva Antaramasti. So Antaramasti, so difference, Antaram, Antaram means difference, different Asti. Like, why is there like a difference? Is there a difference? Why is there a difference, or is there a difference? Difference between what? Difference between Ambara Manav. Difference between Ganga Ambuni Bimbite Ambara Manav. So Ambara Manav means diamond of Ambaram. Ambaram means like in sky, diamond in sky. So Ambara Manav, diamond in sky is sun. So sun, Ambara Manav, the sun, Ganga Ambuni Bimbite, which is Bimbite, reflected in Ganges. And Chandalaviti Payah Pure. So, and in a village road or the street, we can consider it as a street. So, Chandala, like a street which is inhabited by Chandalas or outcasts, or you can say dog eaters. So, in Chandalas, low caste people, the street of low caste people. On the side, like whatever water is present, the drainage, what they call, I guess, or I think drainage. So in that, the water there, as well as the water in Ganges. So this is the reason why, like many places, like we find jnanis saying, like, or comparing, saying that moksha. What is moksha? When there is no difference between the water in Ganges and the water in drainage. So the sun that gets reflected in Ganges water as well as gets reflected in street water, drainage water, what is the difference? There's no difference. Yes, there is difference between the reflection medium. There's difference between like Ganges water and difference between between Ganges water as well as the drainage water. But the sun is the same. Sun is one alone. One sun gets reflected in many places. So if those, the sun gets reflected in many places, based or dependent on the reflection medium, sun might appear to be different. So in Ganges water, sun will appear very pure, whereas in the drainage water, sun will appear dirty. Of course, today there is no such thing as Ganges water or pure water. Today Ganges also, people go there, have bath, and then, as Chinmaya says, dirty the water. So Chinmaya, like beautifully says that in 1993, like, I think 92 or sometime around that, when he spoke in United Nations and before the Millennium Summit or something like that, not Millennium, I think 1993 Chicago Conference, not Chicago, I think UN, I don't know, Geneva, 100 years after Swami Vivekananda spoke there. So Chinmaya says there, like, today there's a revolution of purifying water everywhere, like, people are trying to purify. So, like, is water ever dirty? So Chinmaya asks the question, water is always pure. Water in all of its form is always pure. Rainwater, if we take rainwater is also pure. People can drink rainwater. Many people, like, take rainwater and then rub it in their face, wash their face in rainwater, because rainwater is pure. It has, like, purifying capabilities. Like, if you have pimples and all, rainwater, if you apply, like, it will go. It's a known fact. It's a known truth as well. So water is always pure, but it is we who sit, or Chinmaya says, it is we who sit on the sides of the water and dirty it. And purifying the water is continuing, but this de-dirtying doesn't stop. So that is what happens. Earth, today, people are all into, like, vegetarian, or what is called as a newer version of vegetarian, it is called vegan. So it's not even vegetarian, it's one step further, vegan. So vegans are people, like, who are vegetarian, plus they don't use any wool or silk or, like, any cloth or even leather, because leather also is used by created by killing animal, therefore they don't use leather or wool and all those. They don't use anything, any product which is created by killing animal. So that is the way people are going. And earth, with respect to earth friendly, there are many products like which are eco-friendly. So all those eco-friendly, earth friendly and all those can happen. But who created all these problems in the first place? Man, whatever, like, objects are there in the world, the tree, eco-friendly, it's always eco-friendly. Animals are eco-friendly. Animals are always eco-friendly. Trees eco-friendly, always. So natural products are always eco-friendly, but man creates all these problems. Man created all these problems and then tries to solve them. So it is like creating a problem in the first case and then trying to solve it. And even if we solve or we think, like, we can solve, will those help? Will not eating meat help? Definitely no. It will. It may help us to remain young. It may help us, like, to have a good body. Will it help us in moksha, in anandam? Definitely no. There are many vegetarians. There are many people, like, who even are great social service activists. Madonna or Madhana, I think, however it is pronounced, Madhana. She's one of the very famous singer. And, like, she also has adopted almost 5-6 kids from Africa and other places. But her personal life is a misery. It's a total failure. So that means just doing social service will not give us anandam. Bliss is our own very nature, but that can be achieved. That can be gained only by vision of non-duality. Whether that vision is achieved, whether that vision is implemented through bhakti or through jnanam, that doesn't matter. But vision of non-duality, knowing that there is only one Ishvara, that alone can give us bliss, nothing else can give us bliss. So anyway, all that aside, so is there a difference between the sun reflected in water in Ganges as well as in the water in a street? So Shiva is asking the question, but he knows the answer as well. It is like a self-answered question. Means no, there is no difference at all. There is no difference whatsoever. Then why do you differentiate between these various bodies? The body is a reflection medium, that's it. So once there used to be a mad person who used to come to the Dakshineshwar Kali temple. So he used to come regularly, and once Master Mahashay or Yam wanted to know if there are jnanis in the world. So he asked Ramakrishna Paramahamsa the same question. And Ramakrishna Paramahamsa says, okay, that mad person who comes, he's a jnani. So he can, like, M didn't believe. Master Mahashay didn't believe. So Ramakrishna Paramahamsa said, okay, then go and you can ask him yourself. So one day, Master Mahashay noticed, was observing the person. So the crazy man, like, his clothes were all torn in many places. He had a lot of beard, hair and all. And then he had a stick. So he came and then took bath in the Ganges and then went into the temple. And in the temple, he chanted hymns. So when he chanted hymns, it was as if the temple was reverberating. The temple was vibrating with energy, with power. And after that, like, food was being served. So this person, like, he took food, and like when he was taking the food, some dogs came. So he fought with the dogs. The dog was taking something. He fought with the dogs, and amidst the dogs, he took food and ate it, and then he went his way. While going, this person followed, like Master Mahashay followed him. And after a few minutes, like the jnani, the person, mad person, stopped. And then Master Mahashay asked him, "Are you a jnani?" And slowly looking around, like here and there, he slowly whispered, "Yes, I am a jnani, but don't tell anyone." Then Master Mahashay asked him, "How can I know, like, when I have jnanam, or when I have realized, when I have become a jnani?" So the mad person, the jnani, says, like, "Look here, do you see this drainage water? When you consider this in par with the water in Ganges, then you are realized, because essentially everything is oneself alone." So this is one theory, reflection theory, and the other is, so kanchana gati mrit kumbayor va ambare. So ambare means, like, in difference between or difference in space. So space which gets limited, kanchana gati. So kanchana gatam. So kanchana gatam means golden pot, as well as mrit kumbam. So mrit kumbam means, like, mud pots. Kumbayor va means or. So the space which, or akasham, which is limited in a golden pot as well as a mud pot, there is no difference at all. So medium is different, but akasham is one alone. Akasham is always the same. Okay, now, like, we want to enter into why reflection theory, why limitation theory, like, which is right, which is wrong. There is nothing right or wrong. It's a different perspective. Those are two different perspectives from a sadhaka's level. Few sadhakas might find limitation theory better. Few sadhakas might find reflection theory better. Can go through the jivas as per various systems, the block spot thread, like, you can go through that, like, if you have doubt as to which is right or which is wrong, or different explanations or details about these theories. But ultimately, whether it is reflection theory or limitation theory, vastu is just one alone. Vastu means reality. Reality is one alone. Ekam sad vipra bahudha vadanti. So one truth is explained variously by different people. Vadanti tat tattva vidaha tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdhyate. So one truth is one truth, just one truth, advaya jnanam, non-dual consciousness. That one non-dual consciousness is explained or is termed variously by knowers of the truth. So knowers of Brahman term it variously. Some people might call it Allah, some people might call it Christ, some people might call it Ishvara, Brahman. Even in, like, Sanatana Dharma, people call it Brahman, people call it Vedanta, people call it Ishvara, people call it Atman, people call it Sakshi, Kudastha. So they have different terms, that's it. And a person who even differentiates between all of these, a person who differentiates between Vishnu and Shiva, a person who differentiates between Bhagavatam and any other scripture by telling Bhagavatam is the greatest scripture, there itself there is Bhedam. And Bhedam means, what is Bhedam? Brahmam. What can Brahmam give us? Brahmam means like a delusion. What can a delusion give us? A delusion will make us a mad person. Mad person means we will suffer, we will have sorrow. So therefore we should not have any different. And Skanda Upanishad makes it very clear. Yatha Shivamayo Vishnuhu Evam Vishnumayaha Shivaha. So even as Shiva is filled with Vishnu, Vishnu is filled with Shiva. There is no difference at all. So once Kanchi Mahapiriyal gives a beautiful incident. So once the Devas had a doubt as to whether Shiva was great or Vishnu was great. And it was not with Shiva and Vishnu, but there is a word called Rameshwara. Rameshwaram is based on Rameshwara. So Rameshwara, the word Rameshwara, so they wanted to know the meaning of the word. Of course, Rameshwara means Shiva. So they wanted to know the meaning of the word by which they wanted to know whether Shiva is great or Rama or Vishnu is great. So they first go to Vishnu. So Vishnu says, like Vishnu, when they go to Vishnu, like Vishnu says, Rameshwara means Ramasya Ishwaraha. Rama's Ishwara, Rama's Lord, which is Shiva. Which means, indirectly he says, Vishnu says to them, the Deva, that Shiva is greater. So they get a blow, they still don't believe. They think, oh, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Vidya Dadati Vinayam. So knowledge is given him humility. So he is like humble, Vishnu is humble. I don't think that's right. So they go to Shiva. So Shiva says, Rameshwara, what is Rameshwara? Ramaha Ishwaraha Yasya Sarameshwaraha. Rama is whose Ishwara? He is Rameshwara. Which means, Rama is greater, indirectly. So they still don't believe him as well, because they think he is also humble. So they finally go to Brahma. So Brahma says, Rameshwara, Ramascha Ishwarascha Asau Rameshwaraha. Rama and Ishwara both are one. That is what this term says, Rameshwara. So ultimately Shiva and Vishnu are one and the same. Of course, this difference between Rameshwara or different interpretations of Rameshwara is what is called as Samasa. Samasa means, in a way, words or combined words, like words which have multiple words in them, or conjunctions, verbal conjunction. There are different ways to interpret. So one is Ramasya Ishwaraha. So there is something called Tat Purusha Samasa. There is called I forgot, like the second one, Bahu something, like something will, it starts with Bahu something, and then there is Dvandva Samasa. I'm not an expert on Sanskrit. So there are different like samasas, how words are joined, words are combined. So we don't need to enter into all of those. Like, we don't have to understand or learn all of those. Like, just some knowledge of what Sanskrit, basic knowledge, minimum knowledge of Sanskrit, and what is important is the underlying reality. So Shiva and Rama, or Rama and Vishnu, Shiva and Vishnu are one and the same. There is no difference at all. So whoever Mrityo Samrityam Gacchati Yaiha Nana Iva Pashyati. Those people like who differentiate, who have vision of difference, who see duality as if it is existing, they go from death to death, which means they suffer. So there is no difference, no bhedam at all. It's very simple to understand it. Whatever is there, it's just an illusion. It is like a dream world. If we can't understand dream world, if we can't consider it as an illusion, then at least remember the Nama Rupam. As Balakrishna Nair says, entire Vedanta is finished or completed or encompassed in three words. So Brahman, Namam and Rupam. So Brahman. So Brahman is true, Brahman is real, and Namam and Rupam are illusions. So with this, like Brahman, whatever we take, whether it is a laptop what? the form of laptop, the name called laptop, and essentially Brahman. Everything is one Brahman. Oh, is everything one Brahman? We already learned it. Nahi bhana trite sattvam narte bhanam chito chitah chit sambhedo pinadhyasa rate tenaham advayah. So everything is like just one entity alone, one Brahman. Everything is only an illusion in Brahman. Brahman is a substratum. So in that one Brahman, why are you having these differences? So don't have differences. So Shankara, like following this, following like Shiva's words, Shankara gives his view, his mental state that I don't have any confusion. I don't have any vision of duality. My conviction is that whatever is there is one Ishvara, one Brahman alone, which we will see in the next day. May Amma bless us so that we may be able to remember that everything is essentially one Brahman alone. Namaskaram.